Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Des Hasler. Who is that man?
He's a mad scientist of rugby league. How would you drive? I describe Wayne Bennett as the Undertaker, Craig Bellamy as the lunatic, and Des Hasler as the mad scientist of rugby league.
Okay, we
mad
found
scientist.
Out why.
Mate, that door story, that's next level. That is a nut job.
Mm-mm. Hey, what else are we talking about today? The roundabouts in Brisbane. And the worst roundabout, there's not many good ones.
No.
A lot of hill entries I've seen. And Robin, which one's got Mongolian barbecue on it?
Yeah, well, that would be the St. Lucia roundabout. Absolutely.
And the Goldie, we talk about a bit of medical tourism. A man from the Gold Coast who's gone to India and knocked 85 grand off his dental bill just with a little flight.
It's extraordinary. Flying over there and getting your teeth done. Who would have thought India would become the headquarters of teeth?
Mm.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
The voting is in on Brisbane's worst roundabout.
Okay.
All right. Now, you think about it. As far as I know, the first roundabout in Brisbane is an enormous one at Hamilton Road and Webster Road at Chermside, not far from the Chermside Shopping Centre. Mm. Enormous it was. It's probably 80, maybe 100 metres across each way.
Mm. Yes.
Plenty of room for everyone to get in. There's a lot of room between the entry and exit points. Mm-hmm. Seemed to work well. Ever since the first one went in, they made them tighter and tighter and tighter. And the voting's in. The worst one in Brisbane is the roundabout at Shaw Street and Wellington Street on the way to Cleveland. Have you ever been to Cleveland?
I have.
All right. You know, you head down the K. I think there's a KFC on your left, and you know, maybe on the right, Big Rooster and McDonald's on the
left. Is that near the train station? No,
well before that. Yeah, there's the little one before you get to the town. But back, you go down the hill after Hawkins' old nursery there. You go down the hill, and it's a tight roundabout. It's a tough one.
No. I've got one worse.
One worse?
I love Mardo's Maps, by the way. I'm getting rid of Google. I'm putting Mardo's Maps on my phone.
Yeah.
Well, they're much more practical.
I don't think Hawkins' nursery's been there for 8 years, but there you go.
I've got a worse one.
Yeah. You've got to update me app.
Yeah.
The St. Lucia Five Ways.
St. Lucia Five Ways.
Absolutely shocking. You know where the Mongolian barbecue place
is? Yeah. All right. All right, I'll give you another one. And another thing in common. And all right, does everyone know where that is? So one arm goes to the uni, one arm goes to the Indooroopilly
so
Golf Club.
Because they're all coming downhill onto the roundabout.
And that's the one at Cleveland. There's a downhill section. Yep. And you know where the other one is? The Toowong roundabout, not the really big one.
The one at the cemetery works a treat.
Well, that one end of the cemetery, but, oh, geez, how do you describe the other one where
there's
overpass?
Sounds like that Five Ways one is where you go if you want to end up in the cemetery. Five downhill entrances into a roundabout. It sounds like a destruction derby.
It's a nightmare. You're right. The one there, that might be the worst. Actually, can we get everyone else to vote? Because you're doing it right now. The worst roundabout in Brisbane and why? It must be about the hills that approach it. Well, I'll let you tell me. The worst roundabout, and actually, everyone goes, Brisbane people can't use roundabouts. Because I was in Canberra on the weekend, and as we were landing, I looked down and went, God, that's a pleasant-looking place. Roundabouts everywhere, and everything looks
huge.
So peaceful.
Yeah,
Canberra roundabouts are massive.
All right, what are we doing
wrong? You've confused boring with peaceful.
Yeah. There's a problem when that's the best thing about a place.
They're roundabouts. Where's the worst roundabout in your mind, and what is wrong with the way we do roundabouts here?
Barad of Beachmere, which roundabout would you like to nominate?
Mate, I reckon I can trump all of them. It'll be the first or second roundabout on that delightful island called Bribie.
Are you talking you come off the bridge? I think it's a five ways, that one, isn't it? Is there five arms to that?
Yeah, I reckon it is, mate. It doesn't matter which way they're coming from. It could be anything. It could be a car, a gopher scooter, or a push bike. You wouldn't know.
What are you saying the biggest problem is? Are the entry and exits too close, or are they just idiots?
No, I would say it'd be the age level of the drivers, mate.
Aha, gotcha. Random humans.
Oh, love it. Thank you, Brad. That one's been nominated. Okay, Beck of Darra, which is the worst roundabout?
I'm not going to say it's the worst roundabout. I'm just going to say it's the worst people trying to get onto the roundabout.
Which one?
The one at Waco, where you've got people coming out of the Waco industrial area, the train station coming onto the motorway. If you're sitting there waiting to turn left or to go onto the motorway, you're giving way to your right. And, of course, every bugger that's coming around that roundabout is turning left but with no indicator on.
So are we saying it's not the engineer's fault, it's the people using the roundabouts? Because are they coming out of the jail there? Is the jail up the hill from that, isn't it?
You come out and go past the jail. Yeah. And there's a lot of industrial area in Waco and coming out onto that motorway, it's ridiculous. It's pretty scary at some stages.
So you've got people who are, you know, full of business. I'm on my way, I've got work to do. And there's people going, oh, I just saw Uncle Steve in jail. I'm a bit sad. And they just don't work together.
Although, Marto, the one you did mention with a uni and a golf club, that means you've got pea platers and old people. Same roundabout. You don't want it.
Brendan of Kedron, which roundabout are you nominating?
The ruined road roundabout at Arden. It's more to do with the shape of the roundabout. It's not really...
It's an oblong.
It's oblong.
Yeah.
Hang on, which one's that? Which
you
one's
know,
that?
Ruined road... Like, it's down... Again, it's at the bottom of the hill. You're coming from the cemetery, Toowong Cemetery, back towards Barden, and then you're coming down the Governor's Hill just from that one, and then you're coming down from Mount Cootha virtually... All downhill entry points and then a really weird shape.
Okay.
What are the humans like around Barden, though?
Five streets can come off it.
Yeah.
And it's got trees. Visibility.
Right.
Aha. You're so right. It's like
trees
a camouflage.
Blocking it as well.
It's a camouflage roundabout.
All right. And who's using it? Government employees and rich people.
And rich people around Paddington, yeah.
And those doing the rat run trying to get away from the Western Freeway.
Thanks, Brendan. God. Big Breakfast, Brisbane's Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Robin wants to know, you asked me a question, you said, what the hell is a Des Hasler? What's he about?
Well, I actually had heard him. Wasn't he a legend in his own lunchbox?
Oh, great player. Like, played more than 250 games for Manly, won premierships as a player, and then won a premiership in 2011 as their coach.
In Manly.
And bang, took off straight away to Canterbury, Bankstown, with the Bulldogs. Went immediately after the grand final, went to the Bulldogs, and only coming back. So it's the prodigal son returning to save Manly from disaster, signed a 3-year deal. He is the mad scientist.
Okay, except though, and we just heard about 5 minutes ago that Wally was talking about on Channel 9 that he's a little weird.
Oh, he's
well,
he's crazy.
That was also backed up by Manly captain Daly Cherry Evans, who said this.
Can't really get away with any shortcuts. He's got cameras on you.
Is that the only weirdness? He watches with cameras? Is he a bit of a creepy
now,
coach?
Now, I just showed you that video while the song was on, okay? And what did you just witness? Describe to everyone what you just witnessed.
Well,
that was in 2010.
Okay, so they're in the change rooms. I don't know what had happened. Clearly something had gone wrong
for
Manly.
Tough first half.
Okay, so then he's barking, and then barking.
Yeah, that's rugby league.
He walked out the door, and he slammed the door behind him, and the door fell off the hinges.
Nick, did you see that video just then as well? All right.
Yeah.
What he'd done, apparently, this is what I've been told, that day, he used to do it quite often. He'd loosen the screws and take two out. Yeah, there's two hinges. There's four screws in each, okay? He'd take out two and loosen the other two if he ever needed it. Like, if he didn't need it, he didn't need it.
But isn't he watching the game the first half?
Yeah, he should be making adjustments. But instead he's like, where's me Phillips head? I've got to fire these lads up.
No, he's got an assistant. He could go down and did it. He said, I'm going to need the dog to come off at halftime. It's an old coach's trick. Because if you give your players a spray, and he did love to use the F word and still does in the coach's box, if you give him a spray like he was on that video, if you look it up, Des Hasler breaks door to dressing room, give him a spray, and if you go, well, I'll leave you blokes to sort it out, apparently he said something like that, then slam the door comes off the hinges, they're going to go, Jesus, Des, and they're going to have think about what they did in the first half.
Are they? Are they going to fire up because Des Hasler took a door off?
They came roaring out in the second half and just piled it. Des Hasler never did any weights, and he was considered one of the strongest players in rugby league.
Why?
Oh, was he? Or was he only just taking the screws out of doors?
It's exactly that.
He did push-ups and sit-ups and chin-ups. That's all he did, body weight exercises, and he was the greatest. One day, he only sleeps 3 hours a night, okay, once they were on a bus travelling home from somewhere and Steve Menzies, the Beaver, he said, what's that alarm? Des said, it's 2 o'clock, I've got to go up and do some training. They were on a bus and he started doing push-ups. He's just mad, and that's why he's made them all buy an iPad this week.
Why?
And they're dirty, some of the Islander boys. They're going, no, iPads are for our children, not for us. Because he makes them look at so many videos of everything that he does. He is insane.
Yeah, because he's tired.
It's rugby league, man. He's tired of getting up 3 hours a night and doing push-ups. Yeah. Not enough.
Manly Netflix, up. Boys. 21 hours a day at Netflix, then you get 3 hours of sleep.
And off you go and play rugby league.
It's rugby league.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
When I saw this headline kick off with Gold Coast man takes drastic, I thought, we are in.
Okay.
But then it ended with, you know, Gold Coast man. As soon as that's in there, you've got a good chance of being bogan news. But it ended with drastic step of flying to India for affordable dental care. Now, this bloke, Neil McLean, he was facing a staggering $100,000 bill.
What, for his teeth? What were they going to do, make him in gold?
He was getting a total mouth renovation, right?
What?
So it was going to cost him $100,000. He needed 8 root canals, 9 implants, 2 extractions, and 24 zirconia caps.
So he had
how many teeth do you have?
Yeah,
24.
Not many. I don't know.
Oh,
he's getting them all capped.
I think it's
amazing
36.
Work.
36,
but instead,
something like that.
36, fair enough.
Had none of us done a dentistry degree?
No.
Come on. So you reckon
up.
We got 9, top 9, but well, then you got your eye teeth or your wisdom teeth.
Don't make me Google. Talk amongst yourselves.
God, we're stupid. How many teeth have we got?
So he's getting all that work done. It was going to cost him $100,000 here, but he's done some research online.
Yeah.
He's ended up flying to India.
Yeah.
Where with
India?
Flights, yep, the dental work costs just $12,199.
Oh.
So plus flights and a com, $15,000. So he's knocked off $85,000.
That would have taken him 3 weeks to do because I get a bit of work done on my teeth at the moment, and it takes you got to go space them out a bit.
Yeah.
So he went over there. He has do a tooth, have a holiday,
two teeth, 24 needed caps. It's insane.
Jesus,
right?
The rest would have fallen out. Well, he must have had a few fallen out. Like, I've had a few pulled, and you decide whether you want to get some more or not because they're really expensive to drill a screw down there and then put a tooth on top of it.
Yeah, I just said, I've thought about it before. I just never considered going overseas to get medical work done. But I want to know
Nick.
If people have.
Yeah, Thailand,
is it really that
Bali,
big?
Boobs, face, and teeth.
Yeah, cosmetic stuff in Indonesia. I know a number of women.
Bali, out of right?
Yeah,
Bali.
Yeah,
Bali what?
Bali, come on. A drunken tattoo is not a medical procedure.
No.
No.
I know one girl has had her boobs done.
At
I know another girl.
The bolt-ons.
Had bolt-ons, but you combine it with a holiday, so you go for like a couple of days.
And don't you recover then?
Yeah, you're supposed to. I also know one woman where it went horribly wrong and then she had to spend $30,000 to get it fixed.
I've just got to hear these stories. I've got to hear these stories. 133353. If you've taken part in medical tourism, what'd you get done? Your teeth, your lips, your boobs.
Did it
what
work?
What else can you get done? Ian from Redcliffe.
Yeah, g'day, guys. How you going? I chipped a tooth in Australia here, and my partner's over in Indonesia, so I travel there, you know, twice a year. And anyway, I got quote to you before I left and for a crown and, you know, root canal and a crown and all that sort of stuff to be put in. They range from $2,000 to $3,000. I thought, I can put up with it for another month or so. And went over there. The whole procedure, the top-of-the-line bench, crown cost me $150 all up, including root canal.
All right.
Oh, my Lord. Did you have
$150?
Yeah, that's right. The only weird thing about it is they, you know, like, it's not as, you know, like, the dentistry isn't as probably glamorous as Australian dentists, but you know what I mean? They operate
in what way?
With bare feet. Oh, you know, they just get around their white gowns, bare feet and that sort of stuff, and it's pretty low key. There's no anaesthetic. But you know what? I never felt any...
No, hang on.
Hey, in Indonesia, you don't need anaesthetic. Bintangs are a buck. Just get yourself 10 anaesthetic. Oh, God, I can't even say it. I think I've had some in my gums.
That's amazing.
Ian, you're a hero.
Ian, that is nuts. Okay. How long did it take?
I went there, I think, twice for root canal and all that, and they measured it up and sent the crown off, and it came back. So I think I started Monday, and I went back on Friday, and it was all done, $150. I think all the other procedures were about $300,000, which is about repair, which is about $30, and the denture or the crown was about $120.
Oh, my God.
$150 plus AirAsia flights, that's coming in at $160.
Oh, my God.
Terry of Narangba, what did you do cosmetically? What procedure have you had overseas?
Yeah, g'day, guys. It's actually my brother-in-law. His wife's from Colombia. And as you can imagine, when we first met, there was a few of the cocaine jokes.
Of course.
Yeah, real funny. anyway, she went over there and he actually had a couple of things wrong with his teeth, and they said, look.
Yeah, grinded them down.
It's going to be expensive. And over here, comparable, like the last bloke, They said, yeah, look, it's like a $5,000 up to $10,000 procedure.
Yeah.
And they said, look, it's going to be expensive, probably $600 US.
Oh, wow. And Dansky.
Yeah, I can live with that. So, yeah, he got it done.
Wow.
Amazing. They'd have the anaesthetic sorted
the
out over in Colombia, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I reckon they would.
This bloke from the Gold Coast, he's gone to India. If I needed a bloke from the subcontinent to do a bit of dental work, I'd just put my face on Airtasker. Someone would come around. No need for the flight.
John of Eaton's Hill, what do you reckon?
Yeah, look, I went to Phuket and had 6 veneers done to my top teeth because I grind my teeth when I sleep. And I got quoted here in Australia about minimum cost would be $1,000 a tooth, probably averaging about $1,200 a tooth. And I went to Phuket about 4 years ago, and that cost me about $260 a tooth, and really professional.
And what do you do then? You just have a holiday?
Yeah, we took about 5 days from Woe to Go where they grind your teeth down a little bit to obviously put the veneers on, but they then send it away to their lab to do the work to get them back, and then they just basically easy as just like glue them on pretty much. But look, I've had them. They're fantastic, and all the places in Phuket there, when you go in with dental surgeries, you go in there, they always take your blood pressure. So when you've had 3 cups of coffee and walk 40 minutes to get there, yeah, your blood pressure's up a little bit.
I just know, you know why I'm scared of it, guys? I just love a bargain, you know what I mean? I'd go in to get a molar fixed and all of a sudden Cody's got breasts. Yeah. You know what I mean? Hit the boulder.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
From a house down in Melbourne or on the Gold Coast. From the horrors of Ipswich or even up the coast. It's Triple M's. Bogan's got on news.
Today we're up to the sunny coast for a classic bit of Bogan news. A drunk man has blamed his dog after crashing his car into a neighbour's fence at Nambour. Now, Jack Samuel Jordan Danes, presumably known by his mates as Too Many First Names, tried to run from officers before he laughed as he was tackled. Danes admitted to drinking about 10 mid-strength beers in a 9-hour stint. Ten mid-strengths in 9 hours. Yeah. I assume he was charged for being a massive softcock. The magistrate said if Danes had been more cooperative, he likely would have faced lesser charges. He was fined $1,700, a conviction was recorded, and he was disqualified from holding or obtaining a license.
What's the problem? Did the dog jump on him while he was driving or something?
He's been thrown into the back seat after the crash. The cops have gotten there and he said his dog was driving.
Oh, so he didn't have a seatbelt on, had the crash, so he's not in the seat, so he's gone quite clearly, officer, I was a passenger here. I'm clearly here.
The dog was driving. The magistrate then gave the dog a loud naughty and a smack on the nose, which I think we can all agree is a bit rough for the dog, you know. Dogs can do a lot. They can fetch the paper, play dead, help you remove peanut butter you dropped on your crotch, but they can't drive.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Okay, we're all getting slightly bored with Married at First Sight, but it's either that or Dancing with the Stars. I haven't had a frontal lobotomy yet.
Hey, you can't say I'm getting bored with it. I've never watched it.
Are you an MKR type of guy?
Not at all.
There's people cooking on another station.
I know, and because I'm not known for any of my domestic prowess, that will never catch my attention. So now I'm resorting to the fact that Marto is completely losing interest.
Yeah, I'm gone.
And the only way that I can kind of claw you back into my nest and web of Married at First Sight is to give you some opportunity to comment on a broader scale.
Sunday night, that's when they get a chance to scarper. Did we talk yesterday about the virgin and the lesbian? They're gone.
They're gone.
They're gone.
They're gone. Oh, look,
they were the only interesting ones. What about the bloke who used to do it inside?
Okay, he's still
there. What? Okay,
does that mean?
He had testicular cancer. They cut a nerve. When why are you making me do this? This is not what we're talking about.
What's he do inside?
Okay, well, what you imagine.
Hold on. He ejaculates, it goes inside.
Right.
What?
There's a man on the show.
No.
What's this?
Nick.
Where's it come out?
Nick.
We just
Nick,
the back once in a while, like a whale blowhole.
We started
blowhole.
On this weeks ago. You are not going to catch up now, okay? Stop.
I wish you'd mentioned that.
Well, we did, but anyway.
We called it something else.
Okay, good.
All right. So what's the big thing on
last
night's show?
This is the ruling that I want from you blokes. Okay, so basically for the first time ever in Married at First Sight history, they've given the couples a group holiday. They sent them to the Goldie. I know.
Oh,
Basically, because if they come together and fraternise and drink, that's when all the fireworks happen.
Yeah, fair enough.
So that's what they were doing. So basically, three of the blokes got together. It doesn't really matter who they are apart from one of them, but it was Baldy Mike, the old bloke with Heidi, the girl with the big hair, who's an absolute dickhead. Anyway, not her, him. Mark and Ning, again, he's never said I love you, and Ning's really weird. Okay, but the one I want to talk about is country boy Mick.
He's from Gympie.
Yeah, lovely fella. Liked him. Turns up in his work boots.
Oh, he goes all right.
Yeah, he goes with Jess, whose father threatened to you know, disman Mick if he did anything wrong. Remember Jess? Yeah. Pretty girl.
I'm going to have a look.
Okay, hang on. Just stay with me, boys. Okay, so the three of them went to a pub and they started to talk. And my question is this. Is it ever okay for you blokes, and do you do this in real life, where you actually discuss your sex life in public?
To be able to chat to two mates was fantastic and tell each other how things are going.
So I've got a bit of a bombshell to tell you, boys. Yeah, so the other day, Jess and I were intimate, like, probably about a week ago now.
What? You're kidding, mate?
Yes.
just, you know, pulled out the deck of cards and went for it.
Eureka. Yeah, cheers, mate.
Okay. Okay, that's enough. All right, that's enough.
Were they
that's
just cheersing each other? Yeah. What does deck of cards mean? I don't know. Pulled out the deck of cards
and went for it. Like, you know how on Saturday night you had...
I've been married 31 years. I've been married 26 years, together 31 years.
Okay, but do
I don't go to my mates. Got one the other night.
Yeah.
You don't.
Never used the deck of cards, Marta.
No, I pulled the deck of cards.
Okay. Nick, you haven't been married that long. Do you ever go to your mates?
Well, my mates and I have been talking about it recently. Mates that have just had kids. And the thing is, like, oh, how long until you get back in the sack?
Also, it is something that blokes would share together in an intimate setting with their other
friends. Yeah, I think it's blokes with new kids are going to talk about it just because they're
women
how long?
Don't do that.
How much longer do
I'm sure
to wait?
You do.
No, we don't. Not like that. I would never talk about it. No.
Surely girls go, oh, that's what mates are for. Snuck up on me the other day and...
No, but you don't go into the details of the fact. Like, not like that.
I'm not going into the details. You're just asking, you know, like, how many months, how many weeks, you know.
Do you really?
Like, if we're talking deck of cards, like, you gave me the Joker the other night. Is that what we're...
Okay, well, clearly Jess was unhappy about it, so she worked the way I would have thought.
For Mick to go behind my back and tell the boys without coming to me first has really upset me. We're in such a great place at the minute, and I don't know why he's just gone and done that.
Yeah, so...
Because you're on TV. Hold on. Well, it's not real world.
No, but I'm trying to bring it back into our real world.
Mick's trying to tell his mates at home, going, I got one the other night through the TV.
I never understood the deck of cards thing, but now I do because my mates will say, what'd you get up to? And I said, well, I started with a 4, but then it got to a 6.
Then a royal flush.
Big breakfast, Triple M.
Okay, I'm going to regret doing this, but Marto, what's happening with the weather this week?
Oh, you know it's hot. Oh, you already know it's hot. Actually, there's a big few factors at play here. Okay. It's hot. Despite it being a southeasterly, it's still really hot. Like between 33, 36 around Brisbane today and tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then the big tides, there's huge king tides. You see the moon this morning?
Yeah, beautiful.
That means king tides, the morning tides are going to be enormous. I saw yesterday Northie Street had water over it.
Okay.
And
but
also
I just want to go the heat.
Surf.
It's going to be hot.
It's going to be really hot. Everyone be careful if you're in the sun.
Okay, which is quite possibly why the unions have come out about blokes on trading sites. Have a listen.
The construction industry heat stress policy is 35 tops is when we stop.
That doesn't mean that everyone goes home. It means that workers go and work in other areas where it isn't 35 degrees.
That's Where's not it? Always possible.
This,
yeah.
This is my question.
Yeah, it's some like the site where my young bloke's on, Harry, is fully exposed. There are no other places to go and work. They're doing earthwork at the moment.
Underground.
Well, yeah, you could dig a hole, yourself
get
a
in there.
Well, but see this, because as I was watching that last night, I was thinking about when my pool went in, which was in sort of November
that's
2 years
worst
ago.
Place
right.
You can be in a hole in the ground but doing stealing a pool up.
He couldn't stop.
No.
It was super hot.
Because he's told you the pool's going to be ready by such and such. He told someone else he's got to be some. They can't take days off.
Exactly right. Yeah. And of course, last night they then spoke to some tradies who said this about the heat.
Try and stay in the shade and drink a lot of fluids.
It's the job, so. Have to do what you have to do.
Just going to the service station in the morning, getting a bag of ice and keeping it in the esky, and I've just been keeping it there for all the guys to refill their drinks.
Yeah, that's I like the last one with the ice.
And let's be honest, that first tradie saying, buddy, stay in the shade, drink a lot of fluids, those fluids are iced coffees. Let's not lie. That was an iced coffee voice. That man has not had a bottle of Mount Franklin in 25 years.
No, you're so right.
But my question to you, and we still have a number of tradies who are on their way to work right now, so they will possibly be able to answer this. On one hand, you've got the union saying you're not supposed to work because it's going to get too
35
hot.
35 degrees. Now, I'm sure when I was working every day out in the sun, it was 37, 38, but we were private, so we never paid any attention to that.
Okay.
And so then they've lowered that.
On the other side, you've got people like me who want a job finished at a certain time that you've made an agreement to actually have that happen.
And we know how cranky you'll get if we don't get the job done by Friday in 2 weeks' time.
Exactly right. So my question is this. What are you supposed to do when it's hot? Like what actually, like everyone can talk about it, but what are you guys on the ground doing when it gets to 35, 36, 37?
You just drink water. You just keep drinking water.
Well, let's find out.
Or Gatorade. A lot of the young blokes would drink Gatorade, and that's a good thing because otherwise you cramp up if you lose too much sweat. Well, check with everyone else.
133353.
Never cramped? Wicked thing.
Get to cramping. Because I just want to know what the guys are doing. Tell us. Do you stop? Do you keep going? Do you drink Gatorade?
Yeah, Marto's just angling for a Gatorade. You just hope one of the producers goes, gets him a Gatorade.
Big breakfast. Ryan of Zilmia, what do you reckon?
Mate, look, yeah, it's hot. You can drink a lot of water, do what you can to keep cool. But hey, it's Australia. Our diggers were in the trenches when it was hot. They didn't get the chance to say, look, it's hot, we're not going to fight. Hey, it's Australia, dig deep, let's get it done.
Ryan, you know, what are you doing today on what sort of site?
Mate, I used to be a plasterer, so I used to work in the heat all the time. Ooh, but now I work in the transport industry. And, mate, we don't get chance. We drive aircon trucks and shit like that. But, mate, we don't get the time to wind the window up. We're in the heat all day long as well, you know?
Sounds like he's angling to get tradies in on Anzac Day.
Yeah. Imagine if you went to war just with your nail bag on and started hacking away at people with hammers.
Now, I had Ryan at 35 seconds in the pool to swear. How did we go?
Well done, Ryan.
There's a payout to you, son.
Keith of Bethania, what do you reckon? What are you supposed to do when it's hot?
Mate, I've worked in Port Hedland for 5 years and the ground temperature's 75 and we're fitters, we work on the ground, so we're in the heat all the day.
You do not a chicken treat, mate?
You get to have a bit of a rest in the aircon cab occasionally, but
have you got a secret?
The one I've learnt, and Hydrolite seems to be a good little one, but a Barocca in the morning and get yourself hydrated, a couple of glasses of water before you even start breakfast, and couple of bits of pineapple, a whole pineapple, take the inflammation.
Jesus.
Hey, that's interesting. You're a scientist. Yeah, now,
no, it works. It takes all the arthritis away, so we do that. We drink about 10 to 20 litres of water a day.
Man, now, Keith, when you say a Barocca and two cups of water, are you just chewing that tablet like an animal and letting it all mix up in the guts with the water, or are you dropping it in the water beforehand?
No, we've tried that once or twice before. It doesn't work.
That doesn't work.
The pineapple.
Barocca and a whole pineapple.
Yeah. That's groundbreaking news, the pineapple one, though, Keith.
Thank you.
I don't reckon Keith's peeling it either. No, I reckon he's just going straight in with it. He's Tony Abbott onioning that thing.
And Steve of Willowbank, what do you reckon? What are you supposed to do when it's hot? Do you keep working or do you stop?
Yeah, no, you keep working, but you just start early and finish early. So we do steel frames and, they get quite hot quite quick. So,
Where are you today? You live at Willowbank, so you're going to be 3 or 4 degrees hotter than we are in the centre of Brisbane.
Yeah, easy bloke, easy. Maybe 6 degrees sometimes. So we'll probably crank up 36 today, I reckon, with these temperatures.
Will you ever knock it on the head and go, that's enough? Because it was 39 there earlier this month.
Yeah, I do, mate, I do. I was down at Vicco at Christmas before and that was really, really taking its toll. But yeah, we're used to it up here. The board used to it. They've been with me a decade and, yeah, once 30 comes around, we're pretty much gone anyway, so...
Ever thought of pineapple?
Yeah, no, I haven't tried the pineapple yet. No, but as long as the Gatorade, like you said, and you can't add too much water, that just cramps you up, Marto. You're right, with salts and, you just, you can't punch on with that. You need your electrolytes and then you should be right.
Yes,
Nick. Working with the steel frames in the heat, that must just feel like, you know when you get in a hot car and the seatbelt touches you and you go, ow, it's like that for 8 hours a day.
Oh, yeah. Can I just run, can Steve come back on?
Yeah.
Steve, can you explain to these guys the difference between lying a piece of metal horizontal on the ground and putting it vertical?
100%, yeah, that's what I was about to say to you. So you plan the day, once you're over 35,
if you've got steel and stuff, you put that aside. If not in the shade, go back to it later and then hopefully it doesn't burn shit out of you.
You can't touch it.
Very good. That's a hot one, guys. Get some pineapple in here.
Yeah.
Big breakfast, Triple M.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.